Our AC, we have one unit out in the back, and thank you, Lord, it's under warranty, so we'll be back up and running full force next week, and hopefully we'll have a third unit. We have four units, and two are out. But see, God is good. Can you say amen? We can praise him even if it's a little bit warm. We can praise him in the morning. We can praise him at night. We can praise him any time that we choose to praise him. Can you say amen? And I thank the Lord for the fans. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the bulletins. But don't just use the bulletins to fan yourself, but take them home and read them. Hallelujah. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You know, I just celebrated my birthday, and I believe we're celebrating it today, but I wanted to bring to remembrance Alex. His birthday was the day after mine, July 2nd. So today, him and I are sharing, celebrating our birthdays. He's already in glory. Amen. Hallelujah. His faith has been fulfilled. My faith, I'm still working on my way to heaven. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You can probably bring me down a little bit in the house. Am I blasting you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you shouldn't be able to sleep in my sermon today. Thank you, Lord. If you'll turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2, the title of the message is Start to the Finish. You know, one of the things we like to pray, we like to say, Lord, I thank you for the new thing, the new beginning, the new thing. And we keep on praying for the new, and we don't finish it up. And God wants to complete what he began. Can you say amen? I want to see the finished work of what he said was my new beginning, or my blessing, my beginning of my blessing, or whatever it is. I want to see the finished product. How about you? One day, I'm going to be the finished product. Anybody on their way still? Is anybody perfect in this place? If you are, go ahead and stand to your feet. Not to embarrass you or nothing. Well, thank you, Lord. Nobody stood to their feet because none of us are perfect. Now, I know the husbands and wives or partners can turn and say, no, you're not finished. Or your friend, you can say, no, you're not perfect. And they can say, no, you're not perfect. But anyway, start to finish. We like new beginnings. Do you like the new beginning? Do you like the fresh new start? But I want to complete this race that we're in. Can you say amen? So in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 41. We're talking about Jesus as a 12-year-old. It says, every year his parents, this is Luke 2, verse 41. It says, every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it, thinking he was with or was in their company. They traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him. Isn't it interesting? After 3 days, they found him. Wasn't it on the third day he rose from the grave? There's something about threes. You know, have you ever looked at your watch or the clock on the, and you'll see 333? I always, a lot of times, I'll just glance at my clock and I'll see that 333. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. God said, let us create man, or let us, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, create man in our image and our likeness. I like threes. How about you? So after 3 days, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. I got to stop there. This little boy who was 12 years old was in the temple with all the scholars, with all those high and mighties, the Pharisees, and this little boy asking questions and talking about things. Can you imagine? Listening to them and asking them questions, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." I like this. He says, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. They went down to Nazareth with he went down to Nazareth with them, and he was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. It says Jesus grew. Now we know the story about Jesus in the manger. We know about the Magi who came and brought gifts. We know about Jesus and his parents leaving to run away from Herod, who wanted to kill him. We know the story of him as a baby. And then we get to this age of 12 years old, and we don't hear about him until he turns 30. See, there's the beginning, there's the middle, and then there's the finished product. We came in to Christ as a baby Christian, and we're not supposed to stay as a baby Christian. We are supposed to grow like Jesus grew. What was interesting is I was reading a chapter before that, it talks about John the Baptist grew until it was his time to be seen in the desert. And then there's a story about Samuel who grew, and God didn't allow his words to fall, but the words that were spoken went on and were effective. There's a season of growing. We are growing in the Lord. The Bible says that he has given us a measure of faith. All of us have a measure of faith. Our faith is supposed to grow. We're not supposed to stay a baby Christian forever. You know, I know people that are in their 50s and 60s that are still baby Christians and gone to church most of their life. We're not supposed to be baby Christians forever. We're supposed to grow. You know, when Jesus was born in the manger, he didn't begin to lay hands on the sick to recover. He had to grow into his position, into his purpose, into his cause. We are supposed to grow into our cause here on this earth. We all have a purpose on this earth. We all have a cause on this earth. Yours may not be preaching or singing, but it's just being Christ for somebody. Can you say amen? You know, I talk about my groups. I have three retirement groups I go to. And this last week, you remember I talk about religious spirits. And I talked about this one who operated in a religious spirit. Little old sweet lady. Sweet as can be. But when a religious spirit operates, what it does, it takes over the conversation. It begins to quote scripture, and they know the word, and they know scripture, and they quote scripture, but they quote scripture that doesn't pertain to what you're talking about. And then all of a sudden, it starts to kill the atmosphere. But it's good, it's the word of God, but it's delivered in a wrong agenda. So anyway, I believe I had victory over this little lady and this religious spirit, and she would have a tendency to take the group in places that I wasn't going, where I felt like the Lord. Well, she wasn't there last week, and there was this new gentleman who came, who was there for the second week. And let me tell you, he did exactly what she did. And it's because it's the spirit behind it. And right off the bat, I should have known. He goes, "Let us turn our Bibles to so-and-so." And I'm going, uh-oh, here we go again. And what happened was it killed the atmosphere. All of a sudden, you could look on the people's faces in the room, and they had this confused look. They had this distraught look, and the atmosphere was dead. It was dying. And then I started taking back my authority, and all of a sudden I started declaring the word of the Lord, and life came back on their faces. Life came back into the atmosphere. See, I want to operate by the Spirit of the Lord. I want life. When I deliver the Word of God, it needs to bring life and not condemnation. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So I'm growing in my spots. And this happened on my birthday. And I'm going, Lord, it's all about me. No, it's not. I said, why is this happening on my birthday? And he says, I want to teach you some things. I want to teach you how to grow up in me. That means we need to be aware of our surroundings. We need to be aware that the enemy doesn't play fair. We need to be aware. We need to be on our guard at all times. We must be ready in season and out of season. We are growing up in the Lord. So next week when I teach, I'm going to be prepared. I'm learning. Is anybody learning on this journey? That we're learning on this journey. I haven't arrived, but I'm growing in the Lord. You are growing in the Lord. Your faith is growing in the Lord. I want the Word of God to go out and accomplish its purpose. It was set out. Can you say amen? Let's continue on. Let's go to John chapter 1. Now, we know about the manger, and we know about Jesus in the temple, and he was 12 years old, and you don't hear any more about him until later on, until this place here. In John 1:29, says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. People, when they see you coming, they should point at you. There is a child of the Most High God. There is somebody with power. There's somebody that's operating with authority. There's a Christian. That is a true Christian. Not somebody who just talks the talk, but they're walking the walk. Somebody who's operating with authority and with power. That person is not like the typical Christian. They actually operate in love. Can you say amen? God is love. Does anybody know that? God is love. Christians should walk in love. We should be delivering love, the good news, the gospel, the good news. So John points at Jesus and says, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. Where did the Spirit go? It remained on him. Where is the Holy Spirit? Inside you. It remains inside you. It remains inside you. You have the Holy Spirit inside you. Say, the Holy Spirit is inside me. Say, he leads me to all truth. He shows me when something isn't quite right. But they're quoting scripture. What's the attitude of their heart? Hallelujah. How are they using the scripture? Are they taking the scripture out of context? What are they saying? When something doesn't sound right, then we should look it up in the Bible ourselves to say, wait a second, that didn't sound right. I feel condemned by that scripture. I don't feel encouraged. You know what I've learned? The Lord, I love when the Lord corrects me. Does anybody like that? Because when the Lord corrects you, he says, Tony, you're wrong. But he says, here's the way. And I said, oh, okay, now I know how I'm missing it. The Lord never beats me up when I do wrong. He just says, you messed up. Now get back on track. Now do it this way. That's the Lord. So it's good to be corrected by the Lord because he wants you to be powerful. You know, one of the things I've decided and I've realized is the Lord created each and every one of us to be successful. He wants each and every one of you to be successful. He had a plan before Adam and Eve fell. He had a plan so that we would be successful. He had a plan that Jesus went to the cross to redeem us so that we would have a right standing with the Father, that we would be made the righteousness of God through the blood of Jesus. You and I, because of the blood of Jesus, are now in a right standing with the Father through the blood of Jesus. And God the Father hears our prayers, and he answers our prayers, and he leads us and guides us, and he shows us the way. He is growing us up. And some of you today, you're going to leave this place, you're going to leave encouraged, you're going to leave filled, and the devil's going to trip you up, and then you're going to come into self-condemnation. You need to say, Lord, forgive me. I'm getting back on the right track, and Lord, I'm going to win this race because I'm with you and you're with me, and we're running this race together, and we're going to get to the finish line. Even when the devil comes and knocks me around, I'm going to get to that finish line because Jesus goes before me and he prepares the way so I can get to that finish line. Can you say amen? He wants you to be successful. He wants your marriage to be successful. He wants your children to be successful. He wants your ministry to be successful. He wants your business to be successful. I'm going to be successful because he's caused me to be successful. So I'm on my way. I'm growing. You're growing. And we're getting there. Can you say amen? Say, I'm getting there. Say, I'm getting there. Say, I'm growing up in the Lord. Say, I'm growing up in the Lord. I'm growing up in the Lord. I'm growing up in the Lord. You know, I've been just on this journey. You know, some people say, I need you to come and pray here for me, and I need you to pray here. You know what? You need to pray there because the Holy Spirit is inside you. You know what? The devil is not going to show up when I come and pray over your situation. Or come to your place, or come to this, or come to that. The devil's going to show up when I leave from praying for you. So you must pray for your situation and your circumstance, because the Lord says, behold, I've given you authority and power. Jesus says, I've given you authority and power. You don't need me to come and pray for you. You've got authority and power to pray over your circumstances, your situation. I don't have to come and pray over your checkbook. You have authority. Now, I prayed for people in their finances. There's a time and there's a place for that. But when I'm not around, who's praying for you? Who's praying with you? You can pray because you got the Holy Ghost. So John was saying he saw the spirits ascend and remain on Jesus. And the Holy Spirit has remained inside me. Even when I grieve him, he doesn't leave me. He just gets quiet. And he waits for me to get it together. He waits for me to listen. Oh, have you ever had any of those experiences? Morning, I was with the Lord. He was showing me some stuff. And I said, I'm listening, Lord. I'm listening. And you know what? Peace came upon me. Joy came upon me. Encouragement came upon me. I said, come on, Lord, we can do this. We're going to go forth. I'm going forth. Nothing's going to stop me because, Lord, I've heard what you have to say, and I'm going to follow your guidance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It says, then John gave this testimony in verse 32. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I have testified that he is the Son of God. Who is the Son of God? Jesus. Jesus grew from 12 to 30. You don't hear about him, but I have to think that he was spending time with the Father. He was spending time meditating and praying, and God was preparing him for his ministry that would last only 3.5 years. But those 3.5 years were the most powerful 3.5 years there were. How about you? Has God been preparing you for something great? Has God been preparing you? And now is the time for you to fulfill what God has been preparing you for. Now is the time to grow up and say, Lord, here here I am. I'm going to stand in that place. Lord, I'm going to take my marching orders, and I'm going to march. Lord, you said, take the land. I'm going to take the land. Lord, you said, I am an overcomer. I'm overcoming. Lord, you said, I'm healed. By your stripes, I'm healed. Lord, you said, I shall prosper, and I'm prospering. Lord, I'm determined to follow your word in my life. Can you say amen? The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. It says, when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. We need to start pointing to Jesus more often. When people come in our life and they say, what's different about you? You can say, it's Jesus. What's going on in your life? Jesus. What happened to your kid? Jesus. What happened to your finances? Jesus. What happened to your business? Jesus. Point to Jesus, because when you begin to point at Jesus, he begins to draw a man. If you need a blessing, point to Jesus. He'll bring somebody across your path that wants to bless you. They're looking for somebody to bless. But when you point to Jesus, he draws them into your life. Can you say amen? And here's the example of it. Hallelujah. When the two disciples heard that him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find the brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. What am I saying? When you point to Jesus, something happens. Change takes place. You know what? This ministry thing and this thing about talking about Jesus shouldn't be hard. Getting people into the kingdom of God shouldn't be hard. It should be easy because we point to Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw a man. You don't have to worry about your circumstances and situation. Just lift up Jesus. Jesus will make a way where there seems to be no way. Does that mean you do nothing? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that the Lord has a way to bring people across your path. The Lord has a way to bring you out of the pit. The Lord has a way when people are talking about you, how to bring you out of that stuff, how to lift you up, how to promote you. When people are being promoted all the way around you and it seems like nobody's looking at you, the Lord, there comes a time and a place the Lord will lift you up. The Lord will promote you. I've seen season after season that you went into the valley, but all of a sudden the Lord brings you to the mountaintop. And then you kind of go into a valley, and the Lord brings you back on the mountaintop. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Say Jesus. Say Jesus. Say Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In verse 46, it says, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Yeah, Jesus. Can anything good come from you? Yes, because Jesus inside you. But you don't know where I've been. You don't know where I've come through. You don't know what my family was like. So what? Jesus is your Lord. Jesus has brought you this far. Jesus will take you all the way in. We put too much faith in man. We need to put our faith in Jesus, and he will make a way. He will bring across our path the blessing that needs to happen and the breakthrough and the restoration. All the things that we have need for, he will bring them forth. Can you say amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael and approaching, he said to him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than this." He says, "You believe because I told you. I gave you a word. I gave you a sign." You know what? But there comes a time that we need to know the voice of the Lord. It's good to know, but I want to see an outpouring. I want to see the floodgates like Pastor K. I don't want to just talk about it. Those are great. That builds my faith. But I want to see the floodgates of heaven open up over my life, over this church, over your life. And the Lord says, when Grace Fellowship, I've been praying, Grace Fellowship, be successful. Because as Grace Fellowship becomes this successful, I get successful, the people connected to Grace Fellowship will be successful. We want to see this ministry successful because the Lord is moving in this ministry. He's doing great things through this ministry. It's time to take out the good news. It's time to bring down the best kept secret. Share what the Lord is doing. Share what the Lord is doing. Thank you, Lord. He says, Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth." Hallelujah. "I tell you, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." I want to see the portal of heaven opened up and the angels ascending and descending. I want to see the blessings of God before my very eyes. I want to see the lame walk. I want to see the deaf hear. I want to see the blind see. I want to come in contact with people and say, "Be healed," and they're healed. Can you say amen? Let's look for the evidence. Let's grow up. Let's grow up. Let's finish this race. God has begun something in you. Let him bring it to completion. Be the light. Be the voice. Be the hands. Be the love. Be the compassion. Be Jesus. The beginning, middle, and the end. If you'll turn to chapter 6 in John. So we're talking about Jesus' life as an example. He was born in the manger. Then his parents looked for him, and he was in the temple. And he said, "Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" Then we hear the story when John pointed him out. At the beginning of his ministry, it took somebody to point him out to say, "Look, there's Jesus. Look, there's the children of God. Look, there's a blessed person. Look, there's a victorious person. Look, there's a healed person. Look, there's somebody that's got joy. They must be a Christian and they got joy." I don't always see Christians with joy. We need to show the world that Christians can have joy. Can you say amen? Be joyful. The joy of the Lord is our strength. In John 6, hallelujah, in verse 53. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We're talking about communion. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth." And he had a lot of disciples, more than the 12. "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." That's what we did this morning, didn't we? We ate the bread that represents his flesh. We drank the juice that represents his blood. See, do you need a breakthrough? Do you need a blessing? Then you need Jesus. You need more than Jesus. I need more than Jesus. You know, the Lord's been just talking to me about worship. And worship isn't come to church and sing a song and get my praise on. Worship is a way of living. Worship is, "Lord, I wake up this morning and I thank you and I praise you, Lord. Lord, just because I didn't get the promotion I wanted, I choose to praise you because, God, you got something better for me. Lord, I'm going to worship you and praise you. Even when my kid is acting out, I'm going to praise you and I'm going to worship you because I'm not going to let anything steal my worship of you, Lord. Because, Lord, you have brought me to this place. You have brought me out of so much stuff. Has the Lord brought you out of so much stuff? Has the Lord brought you out of so much stuff? Has the Lord brought you out of so much stuff? Has the Lord done great and mighty things, then worship him. And the Lord says, I'm looking for the worshipers. I'm looking for those who will worship me in spirit and in truth. Those are the worshipers. Those are the kind of people I look for, is the worshipers, not the murmurer and not the complainers. Lord, I need. Lord, I want. Lord, you're going to have to get me through this. Lord, you know, quoting all that jargon, Lord, I am going to worship you today. I'm going to worship you today. You know what? It says the kingdom of heaven is near. It's in our mouth. The kingdom of heaven is in you. The kingdom of heaven is through your mouth. What do you want to see happen? Lord, Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, how do you want me to pray about this circumstance and situation? Lord, until I hear how you want me to pray about it, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to magnify you over my situation and circumstance. But you don't know. I need a miracle. I need a financial breakthrough. Worship the Lord. He knows what you need. He reminds me, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Then all those things that you have need of, he will add those. He will give you the desire of your heart if you delight in him, it says. Delight yourself in the Lord. Is there anybody here today who want to join in with me to delight yourself in the Lord? That you want to praise the Lord? That you want to magnify the Lord? I've been wondering why certain things haven't been working. Because I've been putting other things before God. I've been trying to fix it. Has anybody tried to fix things? Hallelujah. I'm not a repair person, so I'm not a techie either. What Pastor Bob can fix, if I went back there and tried to fix it, I'd mess it up. But you know what? I'm so glad the Lord said, even this morning, he was just talking to me. He says, okay, you want to see this happen? I need you. But Lord, I can help you. No, I need you. He says, Tony, I need you. But Lord, I need it. Yes. And you know what he was telling me? He says, stop micromanaging me. Whew. That's the Lord. But Lord, I'm working on my finances. I'm working on this. He says, that's great. But you're micromanaging me. You're not leaving room for me to move. Because you are micromanaging me. You're trying to put in all your works without the faith. You won't allow me to help you through this because you're too busy fixing it. You're micromanaging me. And the Lord says, I won't be micromanaged because it's my spirit. His spirit, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. Anybody want some more freedom this morning? Anybody want more liberty? Stop micromanaging the Lord. Stop putting words in the Lord's mouth that he hasn't even said. But I'm a talker. Is there any talkers? We have a tendency to talk for the Lord. And all the last couple days, the Lord's been speaking to me. And it's encouraged me. It's corrected me. Because you know why? He is setting me up for success. He is setting you up for success. That's why he's saying, no, I don't want you to do that anymore. But Lord, hallelujah. But we always did this on the 4th of July. We always did it on our birthday party. We always did it like this. And the Lord says, you're not doing it anymore. Because I'm setting you up for success. Hallelujah. I don't want to be where I used to be. I want to go where the Lord has for me something great and mighty, powerful. I want, when my shadow passes, I want people to be healed because I've spent time with the Lord and the Lord is confirming his word and they're going, how did I get healed? Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. But I don't even believe in him. That's okay. Signs and wonders. Or for the non-believers, signs and wonders follow those who believe. Is there any believer? It says they accompany those. They don't just follow, they accompany those who believe. We're growing up in the Lord. We're going to the finish line. We're not going to always say, Lord, I want to do a new thing. Lord, start a new thing. Lord, I'm in the middle of this, and I want to get to the end of this. They were in Egypt. They were in the desert. And then went in the promised land. Beginning, middle, and the end. I want to see the evidence. I don't want to talk about the evidence anymore. I want to see it with my own eyes. How about you? Do you want to see the evidence? Do you want to see the finished product of what you've been believing God for? We're almost done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In verse 55, real quick, it says, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. And skip over to 60. It says, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Go down to verse 66. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Because you know why? Because they weren't willing to allow God to set them up for success. It's getting too hard, God. It's getting too hard, God. I don't know about you, but I've been in this. I've gone out. I'm in the deep now. I can't turn back now. You can't turn back now. You're in this too far to turn back. The devil is waiting for you on the shore of where you came from, and he's waiting to annihilate you and to kill you and destroy you. You're in the middle now. You're on your way to the finished product. And Jesus is with you in your boat of success. But many people stop right before their blessing. Oh, this tithing thing doesn't work. It works. It works. It works. It works. It works. It works. It works in my life. It's worked in my life for over 30-something years. I'm going to just tell you how it works. I've seen a refund here, a refund there. I get a check in the mail for here. I get this here. Somebody just says, here, I want to bless you. It works. It works. It works. It works. Now, am I going out and looking for somebody to bless me? No. I'm going to be faithful unto the Lord. If you'll be faithful unto the Lord, he'll bring people across your path to bless you. They will encourage you. They will point out you, and they will prophesy and say, you are a woman of God. God has mighty and great things for you in your life. This is not the end. This is just the beginning. Anybody looking for more of the beginning, more of the middle, more of the end? Thank you, Jesus. He says, you do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus does. He has the words of eternal life. He has the words of eternal life. Has this walk been easy? No. But let me tell you, God, through his son Jesus, has brought us through, has brought me through so many things, so many circumstances. You know what? I've never had to vindicate myself. God has always vindicated me, always. There's not one time God hasn't vindicated me. If I protect my heart and I keep this trap shut, that's the hardest part. But Lord, I'll help you out. Lord, I'll help you out. I'll never forget. There was one time the Lord was dealing with my mouth, one of the many times, and somebody made me mad. I said, no, I'm not going to say anything. 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 I said, I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to ask forgiveness in a few minutes. Now, did it please the Lord? What it did is it put me in a place to be tested again to pass the test. So if I have to put my hands over my mouth, I'm going to do it because I don't want to miss out on anything the Lord has. How about you? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Thank you, Lord. In closing, turn to John 21. In verse 15, there's the beginning, there's the middle, and there's the end. Jesus was coming to the end of his purpose on this earth. He had died on the cross. He had showed himself about three times to the disciples. Peter had denied him. And I love what the Lord did. He came back to Peter. After the meal, he said, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Do we love Jesus? Let's take care of his business. The Lord has told me many times, he said, Tony, if you take care of my business, I'm going to take care of your business. He says, if you put me first, I'll bring you to the front. I'll raise you up. I'll cause a blessing upon you that you won't be able to handle. Peter denied Jesus three times. Then Jesus asked him three times if he loved him to cancel out what he had done. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We are in the seventh month of this year. We have just begun the second part of the year. This year is going to be over before you know it. When September gets here, Christmas will be here, and then a new year will be here. Let's not waste time. Let's not forget our purpose on this earth. Let's reveal Jesus to every person that comes in contact. If you bow your heads and close your eyes, if you turn on some music, today I gave you an example. Jesus grew into his purpose. Jesus fulfilled his purpose. And then he went on to glory. And he's continuously living and interceding on our behalf. His job didn't finish on this earth. You know, your job when you leave this earth, if you're willing to leave a legacy, so people will say, yeah, I remember so-and-so. Man, they love Jesus. They encourage me all the time. They hug me. I love their hugs. This morning, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and today you want to ask Jesus to come into your heart, if that's you, I want you to lift up your hand. Today you want to rededicate your life to the Lord. If that's you, I want you to lift up your hand. Today, you want more of what the Lord has promised you. That you want to get through this middle part so that you can see the end of the results of the new beginning. If that's you, I want you to lift up your hands. You want to cross over into the ladder instead of the former. Today, you want to step out of the boat like Peter did. You want to walk on water. You want to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, even if you don't even try to. Whatever it is today, you just need more of Jesus. Lift your hands up. I'm just going to invite everybody to come down to the front. Just come down to the front. We're starting this second part of the year. I want us to be successful in the second part. We're not going to wait until Pastor Bob, will you anoint everybody? And Pastor Kay, and Pastor Odell, would you just start anointing everybody? Blessings. 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 You ready? 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 Does anybody ever make excuses? If you do, lift up your hand. I know. Thank you for being honest. Does anybody make excuses? I do. There's always an excuse, isn't it? I want to lay down my excuses. I want to pick up the mantle. I want to pick up the promise. I want to pick up the success. When you're anointed, I want you to lift up your hands. Hallelujah. Lord, would somebody anoint my sister in the back too? Or my sisters or my brothers? Shout out to Kun, da 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 da. And anoint Clayton. I want you to participate right now in his spirit. Shout out to Kun, da da da. I'm expecting to see evidence. I'm expecting right now that you're going to receive what you desire. You're going to receive, if it's a breakthrough, you're going to receive healing, whatever it is, you're going to receive it. And I'm not going to stop there. I want to see the evidence. We're going to stop talking about the evidence. We're going to see the evidence. So Lord, right now, as we lift up hands today, we thank you by your spirit, Lord. By your spirit, we've already begun. We've already started the new thing. The book has already begun to be written. The new chapter has been written. We've been reading the chapter and we've been reading the book. And we get most of the way through and then we put the book down. Well, today, we're going to pick that book back up right now. We're going to pick up that Holy Ghost book right now. And we're going to get to the finale of this book. We're going to get to the end of this book. We're going to get to the finished product of this book. Hallelujah. You're not going to heaven. Don't worry. Yet. You got more work to do on this earth. The Lord has great and mighty things for you to do. Hallelujah. 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 I thank you today, Lord. Your spirit is in this place. I thank you right now, Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, Lord. Lord, we celebrated Independence Day yesterday as a nation. But today we celebrate independence from the things of the enemy in this world. And today we thank you, God, that we're seated in heavenly places. And today, Lord, we take our spot and we operate in that spot of glory and success and victory. Right now I pray for relationships and children and businesses, all those things that you need a breakthrough, that they need a touch. I declare in the name of Jesus, every wall is coming down. Every assignment and strongholds are being broken in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now for unity right now on this body right here. It begins right now. Unity in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, God, that we go forth in the name of the Lord. We go rejoicing in the name of the Lord. Lord, we get our worship on. We get our praise on, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for this day, that when we leave today, we worship you and praise you, Lord. Lord, thank you. I expect to hear the finished. I expect to see the evidence. I want to hear some praise reports. I want to see some praise reports. I want others to see some praise reports. So right now, Lord, right where we are, we receive. Hallelujah. Depression right now, I break your hold in Jesus' name. Oppression, I break your hold in Jesus' name. Somebody is dealing with something right now. It's been messing with your mind. And the Lord says, peace I give you, not as this world gives you. And so right now, Lord, as we leave this place, we've entered in the second part of this year, and I thank you that the latter part of this year is going to be greater than the former part of this year because of your glory is getting stronger. So, Lord, right now, we love you, we praise you, we worship you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be dismissed.